Psalms 124, and I'll begin reading in verse 1. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us, the stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord, who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Now, as we've been preaching through Psalms, we've started a good number of years ago, and then kind of was hit and miss, and now we've been a little bit hitting it more often. And this subcategory of Psalms is called the Ascension Psalm, and this is the fifth of that subcategory, so we simply title it the Fifth Ascension Psalm. And we talked about the reason they're Ascension Psalms is because this is the Psalms that the Jewish pilgrims would sing as they were traveling to Jerusalem. Jerusalem's on a mountain, they're always going up to Jerusalem. That's the way it's phrased. Now, we're not pilgrims traveling to Jerusalem, but we are pilgrims because the Bible tells us we're pilgrims. We're traveling somewhere else. We're traveling to, if you will, we say it this way, to the New Jerusalem. We're traveling towards heaven. And so ultimately, we are looking at a city or a place to come. But even on this earth, there's still some ascending going, and that is hopefully in our Christian life. Wherever you're at in your Christian life, I hope you're on an upward trajectory. I certainly hope you're not on a downward trajectory. And if you are flatline, that's not good either, because typically flatline means you're dead. You're not going forward, and we want you to go forward. We want you to grow. We want you to be more for Jesus every day, and that's what the Jesus wants as well. And so this is the Ascension Psalm, trying to encourage us, stir us, compel us to an upward direction in our Christian life. And so this is the fifth of that subcategory, Psalms 124, the fifth Ascension Psalm. Let's pray, and we'll get right into it. Father, I pray now that you bless the preacher of your word. It is your design that we have this going on. Man did not come up with this. Lord, you came up with this, that we would be under the preaching of your word, and the Holy Spirit would move in such a way to stir us and to convict us and to encourage us and to comfort us. And so, Lord, I pray that you would work tonight in all of those different myriad ways that needs to be done in each life. And I pray, Lord, that we would grow because of it, and you would be glorified as well. Now we ask for these things in Christ's name. Amen. And you may be seated. Now, I want you to notice with me how this psalm begins. He says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Verse 2, if it had not been the Lord. And then verse 3, 4, and 5, then, in other words, these other things would have happened that didn't happen. And so this psalm is designed to bring us to a consideration or a thoughtfulness about the Lord. Now, as we think about that, let me begin at this point. It is good, it's wise, it's profitable that we stop and consider how we got to where we are in life. No one is a self-made person. Every person in here has other people who's invested in them, who's helped them along the way. When I say stop and consider, I mean more than just acknowledge, yeah, that's true. I mean really think about who invested in my life. I'll give you an example of what I mean by this. All of us have had parents who have done something to get us to where we are. Now, there are a few people, and I do mean very few, who's had just totally terrible parents, but that's the great exception. We may not have had perfect parents. We may not have what we thought was the greatest parents. Let me tell you, but you had parents who loved you. And you had parents who sacrificed for you. You had a mom or a dad or both who got up early and worked and labored and put food on the table and put clothes on your back, put a roof over your head. And they may not have done all that you wanted them to do or all that you thought they should have done, but they did for you, and you are here because of what they did. And so we should think about that. We should consider that and say, I think about what my mom did. Now, my dad died when I was young, but I think about what my mom did. And I think about all the work and all the sacrifice. I should consider it and realize I am where I am because someone else has invested into me. Now, most likely, as an adult, you have worked jobs that you would rather not have worked. Maybe you didn't always enjoy working. A lot of times you worked it because you know you needed to work it for the sake of your family. And the same thing was true about your parents. Now, that's true not just about parents. It's also true about friends. It's true about maybe spiritual mentors in our life, even siblings who maybe have helped us and encouraged us. So this could happen in a lot of different relationships. But the relationship we're talking about tonight is not those human relationships, but our relationship with God Himself. I think that we probably do not give enough deep consideration, deep thought into what God has actually done for us. We may acknowledge it, we may come Thanksgiving, we may give a few cursory words about it and maybe make some statement about it, but to really think about what the Lord has done in our life. In fact, we could say this, all of the human investments are ultimately because of the Lord. I mean, the Lord gave you your parents. The Lord gave you whoever that person was that you looked to and said, boy, they made an investment in life. Ultimately, it was the Lord who worked in their life to make it to work in your life. So ultimately, it all goes back to the Lord. So we come to Psalms 124 and consider what we mean about this, this investment and this what this means for us. Here's why we're looking at it. This type of reflection is what, now watch this statement. This type of reflection is what elevates our relationship. It's what takes a relationship that's here and elevates it to a much better relationship when we take time to reflect and consider that relationship. That's both human and spiritual, but obviously tonight we're talking about a spiritual relationship with our Lord. And in that consideration, it matures our Christian walk. Those who have a deep walk with the Lord most likely sometimes stopped and realize what the Lord means to them. And they realize their life and what the Lord has done and what the Lord has brought them through. And there's been some reflection and consideration, and that has caused a certain maturing, growing in their Christian life towards the Lord. Now, what do we mean by that in consideration of Psalms 124? So let's go back to the Psalm, and let's look at some things together about this. So there's three things I want to mention to you, three considerations I want you to consider with me. So let's go back to verse number one. Let's read this. If it had not been the Lord who is on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us. But both times in these verses, it's talking about the Lord being on our side. So here's the first thought I want to share with you tonight. This is what I want you to consider, reflect on. Number one is this. God is on your side. You ever think about that? God is on, because sometimes we have this idea that God's against us or God is opposed to us. But the Bible teaches us that God is on our side. Now, why is that important? You ever consider you ever consider what your default position is with God? If God were to treat me as I deserve, that default position where I lie automatically with the Lord, what is my normal default position before the Lord? Well, hold your place in Psalms 124. Go with me to John 3. So when I say John is on our side, there is reason why this should stir us. John chapter 3. Look with me, if you will, to verse number 16. Verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We know that verse, right? It's a very common verse. You ever read the next two verses? Look with me at verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. That's another great verse. He loved the world, and Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. And we're like, well, that's great. He loves me, and he's not condemning me. But that's not what that verse teaches. The verse teaches that Jesus did not come to condemn the world. But it does not mean that God does not condemn the world. What it means is this, Jesus didn't have to come to condemn the world. Why? Look at the next verse. Look at verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is, what's the next two words? Condemned already. You know what the default position you had before the Lord, before you were saved? You were sitting and standing and living and breathing under God's condemnation. You had no hope. You could not save yourself. Didn't matter what church you joined, didn't matter how many times you got baptized, didn't matter what you did, you were already condemned before a holy God. You had no hope whatsoever. That's your default position. That is where you were automatically before the Lord, with no hope of change. So what are you going to do about it? You're going to quit. Okay, I'm going to quit lying. You're still condemned. I'm not going to steal anymore. You're still condemned. From now on, I'll be in church and I'll tithe and I'll teach a Sunday school class and I'll work a bus route. I'll do all the good things, but you already stood condemned before a holy God. There was nothing you could do to change that. Now think, absolutely nothing. So God came and did it for you. He came and died for you. You know why he did that? Because he's on your side. He wanted you in heaven. He knew there was nothing you could do. We were completely undone, completely condemned, completely without hope, and Jesus came and died for us because our natural default position before a holy God is condemnation. So God did not have to come to condemn us because we were already condemned. Turn with me to Romans 5. Romans chapter 5, look with me in verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Go down to verse 19, if you will. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness and eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible teaches us that we are sinners by birth because of Adam's original sin. We are sinners by choice. We are born to sin nature, a bent towards sin, and we continue to sin within that sin nature. And so we stood condemned before God. But yet God came and he was at work doing what only he can do, and he worked to change that default position. Now the end result of sin is death. And God did not, and not just physical, but spiritual death. And so God did not want us to die spiritually. He did not want us to be forever in hell. So Jesus comes so he can save us. Now all that to get us to understand, because we have this attitude, well, you know, the Lord seems to work against me. Really? What about Calvary? What we want to do is we want to view our life just on earth about how things are going. I tried to get a car loan and I didn't get it. God, what's the problem? I put a bid in for the house and someone else outbid me. Lord, what's the problem? I've tried to eat healthy and take care of myself. I got a doctor and I got some disease or some virus or something. Lord, what's going on? And we always think that somehow God is against us. And what we have to understand in our reflection, our consideration, is that God always works for our benefit. Now, we don't live in a perfect world, and we're not going to have perfection. We live in a world of suffering and sorrow and sin, and we're always going to have to deal with that. Death is a result of sin, and death is all around us, but there's a God of life who works on behalf of us. Even when you were lost, God was working on your side. Why do you think you got saved? You didn't get saved because all of a sudden you realized what it meant. I guarantee you that somewhere along the way, God sent someone to tell you about himself. How do you think that happened? You think just naturally someone knocked on your door apart from God and told you about Jesus? You think just naturally apart from God, someone preached the gospel? You think just naturally apart from God, somehow someone invited you to the church? If you're saved tonight, God did it from beginning to end. He may have used instrumentality of people. He may use circumstances through different events, but it was God who was working to bring you from condemnation to forgiveness and eternal life. It was God who said, I don't want you to die and go to hell. I want you in heaven. And God was on your side. That's what we need to consider and think about. We don't do that very often.
All we do is we think about today and the events of today, not thinking about the big scheme of thing and all that God was doing to bring us to Himself. So if we're going to consider and acknowledge and rejoice in what the Lord has done, the first thing it takes is this understanding that God is on my side. He's for me. He's working for me. So the question tonight within that is this: have we ever considered the events and circumstances of our lives in the context of this specific truth about God being on our side? God working to bring us to Himself so that we could be saved and we could be blessed by Him. The beauty of it is this: that God did not just stop at salvation. God has continued to work in your life. Now, you know the story, the starting of this church. Most of you know it. And so I was having coffee and cake with the Gasslers. I think this is the conversation we had with the Gasslers. And I was talking to Vicky, and I was here, Don was there, and Vicky was beside him. And we were talking about it, and she was talking about how this church has been a blessing in her life and has really helped her in her spiritual walk. And I said to her, and I meant this truthfully, it wasn't a flippant statement. I said, have you ever considered that maybe the whole reason that Grace Baptist Church was started was for you? She said, well, would God do that? Would He not do that? Well, maybe it's for you. Can I tell you, there are things that God has done in our lives that we don't stop and acknowledge and rejoice in. He is on our side. He is working on our benefit to bring us to Himself in a full, complete way. So that's the first thing we need to understand, that God is on our side working on our behalf. Consider that. Think about that. Dwell on that. Rejoice in that. Meditate on that. Let me show you the second thing I mean. What else? Well, in harmony with that, let's go back to Psalms 124 and look with me at verse number 3. Then, so the statement is, if He had not been on our side, now we bring in what he's talking about next, verse 3. Then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. That would have happened if God was on our side. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul if the Lord wasn't on our side. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Again, if the Lord wasn't on our side, those things would have happened. And so that brings us to statement number two. Statement number one is God is on our side. Statement number two is this: God makes a difference. Because God is on our side, God makes a difference in our lives. Our success, our achievements, is not simply because we are smarter or stronger or luckier than others. We are not where we're at and whatever level we're at in our Christian life. We are not there simply because I have not arrived simply because I'm smarter than someone else or luckier than someone else or stronger than someone else. I'm not there. I've not arrived or achieved because of those things. I am where I am because God has made a difference. It's He who's made a difference. I didn't make a difference in my life. I didn't achieve it in my own strength. I didn't achieve it by my own means. It was the Lord who worked on my side who made a difference. So it's God at work in our lives making a difference. And without God, everything that has been achieved, okay, I've been in the last month and a half helping out on the bus route. Now, the bus ministry has a special place in my heart because just like Tepes there, I rode a bus to church. That's how I got to church. If it wasn't for a bus ministry, I would have never gotten to church. I would not be where I'm at today. So the Lord has done some things in my life, and I realize the Lord has made the difference. It wasn't me. I didn't just sit home watching Bugs Bunny and realize, hey, you know, I need to live for Jesus. It was the Lord who made the difference. And since God makes the difference, therefore we're dependent on Him in all these things. Here's what Spurgeon said about Psalms 124, probably my favorite person who comments on the Psalms. May our experience lead us to the same conclusion as the saints of David's time. From all confidence in man, may we be rescued by a holy reliance upon our God. When you get in your car and you're getting ready to drive from point A to point B, you ever stop and say, Lord, will you be with me? I need you. Typically, we don't. We just jump in our car and we go. Run over deers along the way. I'm not saying anything about anyone. I'm just speaking in broad terms. We get in our cars, we just drive down the road. And we get on the interstate and we're doing 60, 65, 70. We'll stop there. And we get to point B. And we get out of our car and we do whatever we're doing without considering the Lord's protection. As if it's all us. There's a reason that we live and exist. And that is there's a God in heaven who makes a difference in our lives. You say, well, you know, I have a nice house and I have a nice this and nice this. And, you know, I work this job and they pay me this much. But I tell you, ultimately it's the Lord, not you. The Lord can take your health away this fast. The Lord can remove everything out of your life. It's the Lord who makes the difference. It is of His grace and His kindness and His mercy. And that's how we need to think about it. God is on my side, and God is the one who makes the difference in all these things. Consider it. Think about it. Realize this. Have we ever considered that even though man can help us, and sometimes hurt us, our lives are ultimately in God's hands? The great difference maker in life is not heritage, it's not your education, it's not your wealth, but it's God's good hand on His people. That's the great difference maker. Go with me to Romans chapter 8, if you will. In verse 31. Romans 8, look at verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As is written, for thy sakes we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That tells me that God is a difference maker in our lives. So number one, I said, God is on our side. Number two, He's on my side, He's on your side. God makes a difference. Because He's on our side, He makes a difference. That brings us to the last. Go back with me to Psalms 124. Look with me at verse 6. Blessed be the Lord, who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And notice how it begins in verse 6. Blessed be the Lord. That brings us to our third thought. So number one, God is on our side. Without Him, we're toast. God makes a difference in our life. All these things that we enjoy is because God is making a difference in our life. And number three is this. God is worthy of praise. When we truly reflect on that, on those and those things that have invested into our lives, made a difference in our life, it should create a spirit of praise. Often it's that lack of in-depth, reflective praise that's a witness against us. So I'm going to go a little side note and I'll come back to this. I mentioned about
growing up, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, riding the bus and all that. But I'm going to tell you this, I deeply love my mom. Now, my mom's been in heaven 5 years, I think it's been. I deeply love my mom. Now, you know what, how I learned to deeply love my mom? Now, growing up, I was a bratty kid, probably like every other bratty kid. Things didn't go my way. I didn't get what I wanted, and I'm mad. Things didn't go my way, I'm upset. But you know what made me love my mom deeply? One day a preacher said, "You ever consider what your mom has done for you?" I'm sitting there, you know. I started thinking, what has my mom done for me? And the more I realize all that she's done for me, the more it began stirring my heart. And I began thinking, trying to. And I'm not saying I'm perfect. I have failed many a times. But I tried to take time on a regular basis to think about what my mom has done. That culminated, now I was in college when this happened, the culmination of it. It culminated with, I said, you know, I don't think I've ever expressed true gratitude to my mom. You know, I've sent her a Mother's Day card. I said, you know, I love you, Mom. So I sat down, and this is my first year in college, and I wrote a multiple-page letter. And I started listing all the things I remember my mom had done for me. And I said, Mom, I appreciate this, and I appreciate this, and I appreciate this, and I appreciate this, and I appreciate this. I sent that letter to my mom, and, you know, to me, it was expression of my love for her. She didn't say much. She didn't respond at all until about several years later. And I won't go into it, but we had this deep conversation about that. But what happened was, as I reflected on my mom, it now naturally came out in praise. When you cannot speak well of your Lord, that does not speak ill of your Lord. It speaks ill of you. You're not spending time realizing what God has done for you. If we truly reflect on how good God is, it will naturally come out in praise from us. Praise is a result of thinking. It's not a result of receiving. Everyone receives, not everyone praises. But God is worthy of our praise. Let me show you what I mean by it. Go with me to Luke 17. Luke 17. If praise was based on receiving, then everyone would praise because everyone's received something. So it's not based on receiving, it's based on thinking, realizing what you received. Look with me in verse 12 of Luke 17. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. So how many are lepers? 10. All 10 are lepers, right? They all 10 have leprosy. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they, all 10, were cleansed. How many had leprosy? 10. How many were cleansed? 10. How many received? 10. Look at verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God. How many had leprosy? 10. How many were healed? 10. How many praised God? 1. Your praise is not based on what you're receiving. Your praise is based on your thinking and your considering and your reflecting and responding from your heart to what God has done in our lives. So praise is not a result of thinking. It's not a result of receiving. It's a result of thinking, considering. So here's my third question to you. Have we ever considered the events of our lives in such a way that it has prompted deep, reflective praise to God? If praise has not been the result, then maybe we haven't truly considered our lives properly. Go back with me to Psalms 8. Psalms 8. You know, there's a lot of people, let me back up. I am in no way trying to be unkind or inconsiderate of people who've gone through great struggle, especially growing up, and were abused or misused or mistreated in a physical way. I'm not trying to make light of that. I'm not
I'm not in any way just casting that aside. There are those situations that happen, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the vast majority of people who grew up in homes that were not perfect, which is probably all of us. None of us grew up in perfect homes. And there are people who did not grow up in perfect homes who spend all their lives complaining and griping, and they're never happy, they're never joyful, they never really respond in a positive way about their upbringing because it wasn't, you know, my dad didn't play football with me enough, or we didn't go to the zoo enough, or we never went to Disneyland. And all we can think about is all the things that did not happen that we wanted to happen. And we don't take time to really think about what really did happen. I mean, someone got up early and worked and paid the bills so you could have food on your table. I think one of the I'm off, but we'll get back to Psalms 8 in a moment. I think one of the sad things about our society is how so selfish and self-centered we are that we don't truly realize how good people have been to us because they didn't do it exactly how we wanted it. I mean, we have much to praise, much to honor our parents over, and those who have taken care of it. It might have been your grandparents. It might have been an aunt and uncle who raised you. Let's go to Psalms 8. Notice the praise here in Psalms 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art... Now, watch this phrase. What is man that thou art mindful of him? You have a God who speaks in creation to existence, yet he thinks about us, puny little man. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visit him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. We didn't deserve this. God did this for us. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. He is rejoicing and praising because there's thinking going on, and it's now causing this praise to happen. So let's get to the end. I think for all of us, every one of us, it is highly beneficial to consider those who have invested in our lives and to purposely thank them. You say, well, this isn't Thanksgiving, but yet we ought to be thankful people. And I think we ought to take time to reflect on who's invested in our lives and be thankful. And then back up and say, you know, I'm very thankful for my mom, but who gave me my mom? The Lord gave me my mom. So Lord, thank you for the mom you gave me. That is how we should be responding. That is a Christian maturity that we should be having. Now, some of those that we should be thankful are obvious. Some maybe not so much. So I mentioned my mom. I'm very thankful for my pastor growing up, Pastor Darnell. Big influence in my life. So I spent some time, I thanked my mom. Later, I thought about my pastor. Here I am, a bus kid. And when I was a bus kid, when I first started coming as a bus kid, the what we call the junior church building wasn't built, and so they ran the bus in the afternoon. And so there's only about maybe six or seven of us who rode the bus, came in the afternoon. Now here's my pastor. He would have this little stage, and he would do a puppet show. We're all teenagers. We're like really not too into it. But he would do a puppet show and do different voices just to try to do something for us. And he would teach us a Bible lesson. And I thought about my pastor. Here's a guy who started the church, started the bus route, just tried to reach people. I can be thankful for him. And then I think about when I was a little kid, and there was a guy named Tuck, who is actually my stepbrother. It's kind of a confusing way to explain, but he was basically my stepbrother, but here he is married in a way. He would pick us up, me, my brother, and my sister, and take us to church when we were little. I think about a church back in West Virginia, Faith Baptist, who before I went to the church I call my home church, who picked us up, who actually had a bus ministry. All these things that God used in my life, how I should reflect on them, thank them for it, but ultimately praise and thank the Lord. So as we consider all those who played a role in our lives, we should consider that behind all of that was a loving God at work. It is ultimately God who made the ultimate difference.
and it is God who is worthy of heartfelt praise from his people.